Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Delighted to have you with us. A little update on Tina, rather than have it tell you individually. Last night she slept all night for the first time in 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
5 weeks, yeah, so praise the Lord. Hoping she'll be back to church really soon. And Kaylee, my granddaughter, her surgery was Friday. She's at home with Tina. They're kind of taking care of one another. And she's doing great as well. Myself, I had a biopsy Monday. I get the results on Monday, so I'd appreciate your prayers. Okay, let's get into God's Word. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. Love God's Word here. We are in the book of Leviticus. How many of you, don't slip your hands up. I just wonder how many read ahead. We are in a chapter that if I was a public figure, I would get fired for sharing the things that I'm going to share tonight. I would be called a homophobe. I would be accused of being unloving, unkind. I wish that, you know, every young man and young woman in our nation could go through this text with us here tonight. Not my teaching, but what God's Word has to say. Because this is an area in our nation that is absolutely destroying us. Some would think that the text tonight is rated for mature audiences. I have to disagree. I rate it G, God's Word. We don't tamper with it. We don't take away from it. We don't add to it. And I'm going to be as gracious and loving as I possibly can tonight, because this is an area that just breaks my heart with what I see going on in the United States of America, the country that I love, the country that I fought for as a teenager, Vietnam, and the country that I am actually fighting for like never before from God's pulpit, preaching the truth of God's Word, praying that this nation would wake up and repent and turn from their wicked ways and that God would restore us. So, we've opened our Bibles to Leviticus 18. Let's open our hearts and let's see what God has for us in the area of sexuality according to God's design. Father, thank you for your wonderful Word. We thank you for the truth. The truth is always the truth. And it is only the truth that can set us free. And the very thing that we need in this nation, the truth of your Word, people are rejecting today. Even as Scripture tells us in the book of Judges, thousands of years ago, they were doing the same thing that we are doing today. We are doing what is right in our own eyes, rather than recognizing everything that we do outside of the bedroom and in the bedroom, you see. It's under your eyes, your scrutiny. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name and through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would teach us, that you would equip us tonight. Not that we could go out and condemn people or judge people, but Lord, that we would have the ability to come alongside deceived people and tell them the truth of what your Word says about sexuality, a gift that was given way back in the book of Genesis to a husband and a wife, one man and one woman, so that they could be fruitful and multiply. And yes, sex is a gift. It's pure and it's holy when done in the right context by the designer of sex, you, Lord, holy God. And so tonight, give me wisdom, I pray, and knowledge and insight as I share your Word with your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you say that we live in a sex-crazed world? It's just a sex-saturated society like never before in the history of mankind. Never before. Sodom and Gomorrah was a drop in the bucket in comparison to what we have in America today. Why? Because we've kind of supersized everything. We've upgraded everything with technology. And now the perversion and the debased hearts and the minds of men and women has gone deeper into darkness than ever before. We live in a world that promotes and endorses the anything-goes mindset. If it feels good, do it. Especially in the area of sex. There's no such thing as moral absolutes or moral standards, have you noticed? And Americans, for the most part, see this as a means of entertainment, taking pride in their political correctness, in their tolerance. We've come up with all sorts of acronyms for sexual perversion. And they truly believe that they can violate God's moral standards and not suffer the consequences. Man. As believers, don't you have a fear in your heart about the coming judgment upon our nation? I'm really, really concerned by what I see and what I observe and what I hear. Not only outside, you can expect nothing else from the world out there. They're doing what they know. They live in darkness. But when it's crept into the church, and professing Christians seem to think that this sort of behavior, and we're going to touch on all sorts of behavior tonight, deviant sexual behavior, and there are many, especially in Hollywood, that profess to be Christians that go along with things that Scripture is very clear about. God says no. They truly believe that they can violate God's moral standards and not suffer the consequences. Why? Because God doesn't judge on the spot like he used to in the Old Testament. Yes, in the New Testament at times he has, right? Ananias and Sapphira and others. But because people live under grace today, they think that God doesn't see it, that God really doesn't care. They think that we think as believers sometimes that we can live like hell and go to heaven. So let me first draw your attention to what I call the preamble, which is the first five verses, and this is going to set the standard for the whole chapter here tonight. And this is what the word of the Lord says. Whoops, I better turn to the right chapter. I get to talk in there, my book, the page is turned. You've turned there, but I haven't. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel." And I look at that and I think, you know, the Lord is saying to us as the body of Christ today, speak to your children. Sex education begins at home. We can't allow the secular world to teach our children about sex. And so he says, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, past tense, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, which is future, where I am bringing you, you shall not do, nor shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. And notice again, I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. Now, oftentimes when you're studying God's word, look for phrases or words that repeat themselves. Have you noticed one thing that has been repeated three times here in five verses? I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord. He's God. Man is not. He makes the rules. Man does not make the rules. Man cannot govern himself. As good as a democracy may be, or used to be, from the looks of things in politics today, it's not looking real good these days. But even as good as democracy once was, man was not created to live under democracy. We were created to live under a theocracy governed by God. Because mankind cannot govern themselves. He's God. He makes the rules. Whether you follow them or not, God makes the rules. And not man. Whether people believe in God or not, he's still God. He is. And if they want to argue and debate and all of this stuff, he's still God. No matter what they say, what they do, they can do all they can to try to disprove him. That's always cracked me up, that these brilliant people spend all of their time trying to disprove someone they say doesn't exist. Why would you try to disprove someone that doesn't exist? God does exist. He's God. God is the master designer of the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars, which are innumerable. God created mankind. God created sex between a male and a female in holy matrimony. God makes the rules. And when you look at it from a biblical perspective, it's absolutely perfect, isn't it? The way God designs things, it's absolutely perfect. Now, when man creates the heavens and the earth, and the sun and the moon and the stars, when mankind can make up his own rules and standards, that'll never happen, of course. And so as long as man is living in God's universe and living on God's earth, God calls the shots. Why? Because man is living under God's sunshine. Man is breathing God's air. Man is drinking God's water, eating God's food, walking on God's dirt. And you know what? He had better do what God says, because there are consequences. He is the Lord God three times, meaning that man is to keep, he's to walk according to, and to obey God's statutes, his judgments, his commands, because he is the Lord God. On a smaller scale, when you visit my home, God's home, on a smaller scale, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if you don't go along with God's standards in my house, guess what? You don't stay in my house very long. I've had to remove people. And it's the same thing we're going to see here in the text tonight. God will come to the place, and this is a heavy-duty statement by God, well, he will vomit man out of the land. He says, I would rather you be hot or cold, but if you are lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's heavy stuff. God gets nauseous over man's sin. Isn't that mankind's behavior makes God sick to his stomach to vomit? That's some heavy-duty stuff, man. Why? Because man was created in the image of God. And mankind has brought God to the place where God is sick to his stomach and vomits him out of the land. Wow. To disobey, to disregard, to disrespect God and his commands always results in his judgment. Always. It can't be any other way because God is holy. God sets holy standards. And isn't it going to be wonderful to be governed by God throughout all eternity in heaven and live in nothing but holiness forever? Wow. Man, oh man. We don't know what that's like, do we? Even as Christians, we get a taste of holiness, hopefully in our own personal lives and walking with God and enjoying that wonderful relationship that we have with him. But we still have to put up with the world and the world system. You see, the reason that God gives these precepts and standards to mankind and to Israel, as it says here in the first verse, is because God loves Israel. And you know why God gives you and I holy standards today, folks? Is because God loves us. You know why we give our own kids and grandkids and great-grandkids rules? Because we love them, and we don't want them to do harm to themselves. And don't you know that sin is always harmful? Always, always, always in the long run. God loves you. God loves me. We're created in his image. As creator, he knows what is best for his creation. Why? Because he's the designer. He knows exactly what we need so that we can dwell in unity with him, in holiness, in righteousness, and in truth. At the same time, God has given married couples, male and female, the beautiful gift of sex. And then you wonder, how in the world did we get where we are today with that three-letter word, sex? He wants us to avoid the terrible consequences that come with violating his laws. And look around at the consequences of violating even the standards that God has set forth in the sexual relationship. Man, there is so much damage being done in people's lives. And we'll look at that a little more in depth as we see some of the topics that we have to cover tonight. A couple of them are kind of embarrassing, but it's God's word. And do you know why he sets standards and rules with these things? It's because he knows what is in the heart of mankind and what man is subject to do. And it's sad that God would even have to set forth some of these standards because they're so perverted. Verse 3 is a warning, notice, to his people not to do what the pagan Egyptians did in the land of Egypt where they just left, nor are they to be infected by another idol-infested country, Canaan, where they're headed. They're going to be tempted. They were tempted in Egypt. They were delivered. They're going to be tempted in Canaan, where they're headed. They're to leave their pagan influence behind. What a picture for the church today. We are new creatures in Christ. If you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, we are to leave Egypt behind, if you would. Egypt is always a picture of the old flesh, the old man, the old nature. We left that. We don't live there anymore. We don't dwell in Egypt any longer. And yes, we do live in Canaan, the land of milk and honey, if you would. And God has certainly blessed us, especially in the country with which we live. But look what we've done. We've defiled the land. Leave the pagan influence behind. Don't be infected by the pagan culture which lies ahead. Man, I tell you, sometimes I feel a lot like Lot. Well, what do you mean? Well, Peter calls Lot righteous. And when we look at what happened with Lot in the book of Genesis, you think, man, how could Lot even be a Christian? Well, Peter actually calls him righteous Lot, whose soul was tormented daily by the ungodly behavior of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'll tell you what, if you're a born-again Christian and you don't feel tormented daily by the ungodly behavior in this country, there's something wrong. You must not have a TV. You must not be leaving the house. You must be just barricading yourself in a closet somewhere. We're a mess. We're perverted. We're infected by Canaan, if you would. You see, the Canaanite culture and society appealed to the flesh, the worldly desires, especially in sexual perversion and drunkenness. And we look at America today, and it's like drunkenness is no big deal anymore compared to what else America's involved in. When I first got involved in ministry, illegal drugs was a big problem. But now prescription drugs is a bigger problem than illegal drugs in America today. And just like today, there's pressure to conform with that way of life in America. Because if you're not going along with the program, you're labeled, aren't you? And you're called everything and anything. They actually call us ungodly names for living a godly life. Isn't that crazy? Don't allow the culture around you to mold your thoughts and your behavior. We are to be molded into the image of Jesus Christ by the washing of his word and the renewing of our mind. We are to walk in obedience to this wonderful book. This is a manufacturer's handbook. And it keeps us out of a lot of trouble. It keeps us away from a lot of brokenness and heartache, a lot of devastation in our own personal lives as well as in our families. Look at the families that are just being torn apart by the ungodly behavior that's going on in America today. God is holy. God demands. It's not a suggestion. It's a demand that God's people are holy. God's standards in the New Testament are just the same as they are in the Old Testament. And that's important. And we are to speak to the children that we have and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and let them know that he is the Lord God. What a challenge for us as Christians. Do your kids, does your spouse, do your kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, know the Lord their God? It's a personal thing. As I've shared many times, God does not have grandchildren. He only has children. We are to be children of God. It's a one-on-one relationship. You don't get in on anybody's coattails. Grandma, grandpa. So many people say, oh man, my grandma was a prayer warrior. Man, she was full of unction and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Where are you at? Has grandma rubbed off on you? Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, I remember we did a prophecy conference here, remember about 5-6 years ago? And everybody's speaking about eschatology, future events. And so they asked me if I would share. I thought everybody's teaching on the rapture and everybody's teaching on all of these eschatological events and stuff. You know what I said? I'm going to teach how we are supposed to be conducting ourselves before the rapture. Do you know that right before the rapture of the church in 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul challenges the church that they're to be ready. Oh yeah, if the rapture came right now, it'd be a wonderful thing for those that are ready. But I don't believe that the church is ready. I look at the 10 virgins, 5 foolish, 5 wise. 5 had the oil of the Holy Spirit, 5 didn't have the Holy Spirit. Oh, they professed to be believers. But I tell you what, after the wedding trumpet sound and after they went into the wedding party, the door was shut. And that's what's going to happen. The door is open in heaven right now, according to the book of Revelation. And when the rapture happens, that door is going to be shut in heaven for 7 years. And I would not want to be in church the following Sunday after the rapture of the church. That would be horrendous. I can't even imagine, especially as a pastor, what that would be like. Business as usual. Can you imagine? 1 Thessalonians 4, the section I'm talking about, says this to the church to be ready. Before Paul talks about the coming rapture, he says, you are to walk to please God. And only you know here this evening if your walk is pleasing to the Lord. Secondly, he says, abstain from sexual immorality. It is amazing to me how many professing Christians are living together in fornication. Notice I didn't say love. They're living together in lust, porneia, fornication. Scripture says, for the New Testament believer, born-again Christian, we are to abstain from sexual immorality. And last but not least, Paul says to the church, the pre-rapture church, for God did not call us to uncleanliness, but to holiness. Are you ready? Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 3, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And we have the Holy Spirit living within us because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, we can grieve the person of the Holy Spirit within us, and we can even quench the person of the Holy Spirit within us by ungodly behavior. Thirdly, Peter talks about it. God says, be holy for I am holy. Now, beginning in verse 6, here we go. And through the rest of the chapter, we find this particular phrase, uncover their nakedness. Let me give you the original Hebrew on that phrase. In the original language, this means to have sexual intercourse with. That's what it means. Uncover their nakedness means to have intercourse with or to have sexual relations with. Isn't that amazing how the word intercourse is not used in part of our English language today as it was years ago? I love Charles Spurgeon. He talks a lot about intercourse. And guess what? It's not sexual intercourse. The word intercourse, unfortunately, within our Canaanite culture is strictly used as a dirty word in most instances, right? There are actually two meanings for this word. And the most popular one, the reason that it was mainly instituted, it refers to communication. And oftentimes I read Spurgeon's devotionals and that word comes up and it's like shocking. Why would he use that? Well, he's talking about communication. He's talking about dealings between two people. Amazing, isn't it? You see how we've even dirtied up our vocabulary. And of course, secondly, it means the sexual joining of two people. But over the years, it is amazing how dirty the hearts and the minds of mankind has become. And so society today takes some of these practices too lightly. even trying to make them acceptable. They're still sin in God's eyes. Those who consider them acceptable are not living according to God's word. Let me say this again. Those who consider the sexually perverted things that are going on in America and throughout the world are not living according to God's word. And if you've got a problem with that, you take that up with God. It's true. God lays it out very clearly. There's no gray area. And so beginning in verse 6, God warns against the sexual joining of two people, again, uncovering their nakedness, in a number of instances. And the first one has to do with next of kin. Look at verse 6. None of you shall approach anyone who is near of kin to him to uncover his nakedness. I am the Lord. What was that word again? To have sexual intercourse with. And what he says here, none of you are to have are to approach anyone who is a relative, a near of kin, to have sexual relationships with. I am the Lord. Pretty heavy. This is a blanket statement that no person is to have sexual relations with a near relative. It covers uncles, aunts. You know, I'm not going to get descript here tonight. It has to do with cousins and all. God warns about it, a near relative, anyone who is a blood relative. And it's for a number of reasons, because there are certain things that happen physically to a baby that is born through incest. I'll leave it there. Verses 7 to 8. The prohibition here is against incestuous relationships with your father or mother. You know, and again, the reason God has to lay these out is because of the perversion of the heart of man. And lo and behold, look at what's going on in our society today. Incestuous relationship with your father, your mother, the consequences of such a relationship are recessive detrimental genes causing physical consequences. That's the medical term. And notice what he says. The nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother, meaning sexual relationships with your father or your mother, you shall not uncover. She is your mother. You shall not have sexual relationship with her or uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife, you shall not uncover. It is your father's nakedness. Wow. Now, people think that doesn't happen in the church today. Bet me. I don't know how many hours and hours and hours I've spent in counseling with young men and young women whose lives have been damaged through incest. And again, I'm not going to get descript. It's just heart-wrenching. It's so tragic and sad that in a nation like ours that once was the greatest nation upon the planet has fallen into such deprivation. The church of Corinth had this problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. They were actually boasting about their tolerance. Ah, we're all inclusive. Anybody wants to come in. And Paul says that there was actually a man, a young man, who had his father's wife living in an incestuous relationship. And you know what Paul said? Give him over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh, that his soul might be saved. Heavy stuff. God prohibits marrying relatives for physical and social and moral reasons. Improper sexual relations destroy family life. And again, look at the damage that it's done in our nation today. I'm almost to the point, folks, that I can't even read in the morning one of the most conservative newspapers in America, because some of the articles they bring up are so twisted and so perverse, it just ruins my day. I like to keep up on the news because there are certain things I need to know. Why? Because it's important that pastors make the scriptures current You know, that you can give physical examples of spiritual truths and tie it in and all. But you know what? In this section tonight, I'm not even going to go there. And how sad it is, right in our own newspapers and even on television news programs, we see stuff that just messes up your mind. You ever turn on the TV or something or read an article, man, I wish I wouldn't have read that or heard that. La, 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 you know? Man, oh man, that's where we are. In verses 9 to 18, we're going to cover a lot of things. Sexual intercourse with a stepmother, a sister, half-sister, granddaughter, daughter of a stepmother, aunt, uncle. It's like, man. But yet people today think, oh man, things are getting better. Even our president said, oh, things have gotten better since I got in office. I'm not going to go there on that one. Before he got in, we didn't allow same-sex marriage in the United States of America, but we do now. Before he got on office, we never really heard of transsexuals and transvestites. And look what we have now. It's almost as though they're a viable group of people. Just give them an acronym. LGBT, H-I-J-K, L-M-N-O-P, whatever it is, how perverted. We're a group. And we have 1.5% of the population, and we're going to call the shots. We're going to make the rules. We're going to be the tail that wags the dog. How sad. It just breaks my heart. And I'll tell you why. Because God very clearly says, Jesus Christ, red letters, said, if any of you would cause any of my children to stumble, it would be better if you took a millstone, hung it around your neck, and cast yourself in the deepest part of the sea. That would be the best scenario, case scenario for you. And look around at what we have done to our children in America, how we have stumbled them. And again, they call it the norm. Oh, this is normal behavior. We put a book in our public schools about a little girl that has two moms. Heather has two moms. Perverted literature. But you can't have the Bible in our public schools today. Why? Because they consider this hate literature. Can you imagine? Hate literature. We're upside down. So let's pick it up here. I've got to go through this. I don't have to apologize. Why? Because it's God's Word. And let me say this before I get into all this stuff, that every one of these sins is forgivable in the sight of God, if we would repent. Why? Because the only sin that is not forgiven is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. All of these other things, no matter how weird they may be or twisted or whatever, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die for that sin. So if you repent and turn from that sin, God will forgive you. That's the good news. And yes, it sounds sick, but look at society today. Verse 9, here we go. The nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father, the daughter of your mother, whether born at home or elsewhere, their nakedness you shall not uncover, meaning you shall not have sex with them. The nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you shall not uncover. You shall not have sexual relations with them, for theirs is your own nakedness. And again, as I was going through this week, I'm thinking, a lot of this stuff is portrayed in television shows today, in series, in movies. People pay big money to go to a show and see this stuff firsthand, see it practiced. It's talked about in talk shows, tolerant talk shows. Documentaries, newspapers, news programs, all in the name of tolerance or entertainment. How sick are we today? The nakedness of your father's wife, verse 11, daughter begotten by your father, she is your sister. You shall not have sexual relations with her. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness or have sexual relations with your father's sister, your aunt. She is near of kin to your father. You know, it was such a scandal in the 50s when a famous rock and roll star married his cousin. And he just happened to be the cousin of Jimmy Swaggart. And it was a scandal. But today, it's almost like the norm. I'm not going to tell you who he is. You'll probably Google it first thing you do when you get out of the service here tonight. But I remember, I was only a kid. I was at, I think, elementary school. And I'd heard it on the news or something, and somebody was talking about it. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, 13, for she is near kin to your mother. You shall not uncover the nakedness or have sexual relationship, your father's brother, your uncle. You shall not approach his wife. She is your aunt. You shall not uncover the nakedness or have sexual relationship with your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness or have sexual relations with your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. And again, I have seen in ministry over the years, I've had to deal with situations like this. You shall not uncover the nakedness or have sexual relationship of a woman and her daughter, nor shall you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to have sexual relationships or uncover her nakedness. They are near of kin to her. It is wickedness. Nor shall you take a woman as a rival to her sister to uncover her nakedness, have her sexual relationship with her while the other is alive. Man. Sad, but true. Also, verse 19, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness or have sexual relations with her as long as she is in her customary impurity on her period. We talked about that last week. You can go back and get the CD on that one. I don't have to expound on that one here tonight. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. I've never watched the program. I just kind of scroll down the titles looking for something decent to watch on TV, and it just seems as though there's a lot of Desperate Housewife series programs on, of New York, of California, or whatever. And I go, what is this all about? I can only imagine. But it's got to be with adultery in relations with your neighbor, I would have to say. I don't know, because it's quite common today. Your neighbor's wife. And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. And for some reason, he puts this in here. Molech was a god made out of iron that had hands like this. And what they would do is they would heat it up white hot, and they would take their babies, and they would put their babies on the hands of these of Moloch, the god. Today, it would be compared to abortion. Sacrificing babies today by the millions in America today. Don't cut the trees down. Save the baby or kill the babies. You know, how sad. And again, God forgives all sin. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. That is homosexuality. That is sodomy. What does God say about it? It is an abomination. Now, many call me a homophobe when I teach on topics like this. But actually, they're not calling me a homophobe. They're calling God a homophobe because God sets the standard. Homosexuality, sodomy is a sin. It's an abomination to holy God. But yet people try to justify it today. Put your ribbon here if you choose to do so and turn with me to Romans chapter 1. You probably knew I was going to go there tonight, didn't you? New Testament teaching on the sin of sodomy, homosexuality, lesbianism. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against some, does it say? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Man, are they suppressing the truth today in our country, would you say? Mm-hmm. Huh. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Right? The Bible tells us that even the creation reveals his glory. All you got to do is look at their creation. You can see God's fingerprint in everything, especially the human body. I'm sitting there yesterday. You know, every specialist you go to, or Monday, every specialist you go to, they have a certain chart on the wall, right? And mine just happened to be the throat doctor, ear, nose, and throat. And I'm sitting there waiting my 45 minutes or so for the doctor to come in. And they show the human ear and the throat and all this stuff. And I'm going, incredible. The intricacy to the human body, just the ear, the nose, and the throat I'm looking at. And I just wonder how someone can be in the medical field and not believe that there is a God, a creator. Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The human body is absolutely incredible. And so his visible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power is Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Meaning mankind is without excuse. Look at this. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Boy, don't we have that today. It's one thing to have knowledge, but it's another thing to have wisdom. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. My buddy Steve always says, God created man in his image, and now man's trying to return the favor. Man is trying to make his own God. How sad. It's almost like Mr. Potato Head God. Well, I think he has this nose and these ears and these eyes, and man is trying to make their own God, an image of corruptible man. In birds, in four-footed animals, in creeping things. Look around at the things people worship today. Therefore, God has also gave them up to uncleanliness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And that's the first step. God will give them up to perversion. Look at, here's the second step. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up, second step, to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, lesbianism. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Again, homosexuality and sodomy. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, look at this, God will eventually give them over. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. That's the third and final step. God will give them over to that perverted behavior, that perverted sin, a debased mind. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. You know what, folks? That's like reading the newspaper today. That's what I was talking about a moment ago. We're there. We are there. Violent. You ever seen violence like we have today? Every single day a cop gets shot. Every single day, there's a university or a school that gets shot up. Every single day. Proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Man, we're there, folks. Look at this. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. It doesn't stop there. Look at the rest of that verse. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Meaning, you may not practice perverse behavior, but if you approve of it, you are just as guilty in God's eyes. Again, I didn't say it, God did, black and white, right before us. Meaning that those that approve of what we are doing in America today, and their political correctness, and their open and affirmingness, and in their tolerance, they are just as guilty as those that practice those things. God says it very clearly. Pretty heavy-duty stuff. Back to Leviticus. verse 23. You shall not mate with an animal. I don't have to get to script on this one. To defy yourself with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. And you know what? God would not have to put that in his word if man was not going to do it. Pitiful. Perverted. Do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for by all these things nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled. This is really heavy. Therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. That's what I talked about earlier. It makes God so sick that he vomits out the inhabitants of the land. Regurgitates. It's like the human body. When there's poison in the human body, it regurgitates the poison. And that's what we see here tonight in this section. God did it in Israel. God is going to do it in the world very, very soon. Very soon. How close are we? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, this is a wake-up call for the church. You know what's sad? We have this on a Wednesday night. Why couldn't I have this on a Sunday morning? Because I think the whole body of Christ needs to hear this section. It just seems to work that way sometimes. Thinking, oh man, Wednesday? Maybe I'll carry it over to Sunday. No, this wouldn't be a good Mother's Day message. So. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these, what are they? Abominations. Either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. Look at what we've allowed to come in from all different directions in our country today. Bringing all these false gods, all this perversion, all over the place. We're open to everything. For all these abominations the men of the land have done, who were before you, and thus the land is defiled. Lest the land vomit you out also, when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. And whoever commits any of these abominations, the persons who commit them shall be cut off from among their people. God makes it very clear. Cut off, severed. Therefore you shall keep my ordinance, so that you do not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourselves by them. And he says one last time, I am the Lord your God. Bottom line as we close. You know what I see today in ministry, in church circles, and this is kind of something that God has laid on my heart recently. Is that a person's morality is the fruit of their theology. And there are a lot of Christians today that don't read the Bible. There are a lot of Christians today that have tweaked and warped and twisted theology. I call them twistians because their theology is twisted. We need to know what God says. Don't you think it's important to know what God says, folks? Eternity is a matter of life and death. It is a matter of hell and heaven. And God says what he means, and he means what he says. Again, no gray. A person's morality is the fruit of his theology, and it is his concept of who God is. Wow. And it blows me away. I run into people all the time that I'm a Christian. And it blows me away with their concept of who God really is. It really does. Do you know how we know about God? Right here. Do you read the Word? Do you know the Word? Even better yet, before you read the Word or know the Word, you need to know the author of the book. You need to be a child of God to understand His Word. Because the natural man without the Holy Spirit cannot understand the things of God. And until you repent of your sins and invite Jesus Christ into your life and are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're just reading someone else's mail. And again, a person's morality is the fruit of their theology and his concept of God. Wow. I know this chapter hasn't been a pretty one here tonight, but I think it's an important one. It isn't a pretty chapter because sexual perversion is not pretty. It's disgusting. It makes God vomit. It makes society sick. It makes a nation sick. It makes God sick and causes God to vomit the people out of the land. Look at history. If you're a history buff, look at history. Every great empire has fallen because of sexual immorality. That was the last straw. And do you really think that it will be any different for America? We talked about that on Tuesday mornings with the men. How oftentimes God warns about something. We're talking about the book of Ecclesiastes on Tuesday mornings, how Solomon had everything and anything, and he tried everything and anything, and he came to one conclusion: vanity, vanity, all is vanity. It's like grasping after the wind. You ever grasp after the wind? What do you got? Nothing. But there are people that will say, you know what? It will be different for me. And I think America is looking at history, other nations that have fallen, and we're going, oh, it'll be different for me. Do you think so? God says the land becomes so sick it will vomit out the people as the body vomits out poison. What a tragedy. Man made in God's image gets vomited out. There are dire consequences to sexual sin. And the judgment is greatest where the light has shined the brightest. Heavy stuff. We're going to close by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, written to the church today. Let's start at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Paul speaking to the church. I oftentimes call 1 Corinthians 1 Californians because this is a picture of the church in California. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Meaning that if you don't know Jesus Christ, you will go to hell. That's the original language. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says, do not be deceived, neither fornicators. Fornicators are those who have sex outside of marriage. It's also an interesting word, the word porneia. It talks about every form of deviant sexual behavior. It's where we get the word pornography from. Now, would you say that pornography is a problem in America today? There was a survey taken with our high school students in America. 81% believe that stealing is a sin and it's wrong. 82% believe that murder is a sin and it is wrong. Only 25% believe that pornography is bad. And look at the kids with cell phones, internet, and all this stuff, and the enemy is coming in like a flood with porneia to our youth, just perverting their minds. I have deeply embedded within my mind, from 5 years old, that was 61 years ago, almost 62, a calendar in a gas station where my dad worked. And I walked into the back of the gas station, and I just glanced up, and my dad saw me, and he grabbed me, and he pulled me away. And that calendar wasn't even frontal nudity then. It wasn't what we see today. But yet it's still deeply embedded within my mind, within my heart. I can actually, at 8 years old, remember the first dirty joke I ever heard. Why? Because it was deeply implanted within my heart. It left an impression. And this dirty joke, in most cases, wouldn't even be considered dirty with a lot of people today compared to the twisted jokes that people are telling today on TV commercials and sitcoms and all of this stuff. That's how far we've gravitated. Notice what he says. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters. And you're thinking, I'm off of the hook on that one because I don't have anything no statues or anything in my house. Well, idolatry is that which takes God's place on the throne of your heart. Whatever that might be. It could be money, it could be pride, it could, you name it, you fill in the blanks. That's what is ever taking God's place on the throne of your heart. Adulterers, again, we know what that means, right? But it's accepted today. It's just kind of the norm in America. As a matter of fact, that little perverted psychologist or psychiatrist, Dr. Ruth, says that it's healthy to have extramarital affairs. It will make your marriage better. I went to visit my aunt back in Massachusetts about 15 years ago, share the gospel with her and my uncle, and they were having marital problems. She was going to a counselor, and the counselor told my aunt that she needed to have an extramarital affair. Yeah, that's what people are hearing today. Oh, look at this, nor homosexuals. Again, we read about that in Romans chapter 1. Nor sodomites, same thing. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God, meaning we'll go to hell. God doesn't grade on a curve. I've often said that. Fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. Liars won't inherit the kingdom of God. You know, God makes it very, very clear. Covetous, drunkards. Notice what it says in verse 11. But such were some of you. Hopefully, that's true. Hopefully, such were some of us. Hopefully, we're not still there today. As such were some of you. But you were washed. This is the good news. We were washed. And we were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Praise the Lord. Meaning that there's got to be a difference in our lives. We can't look like the world. We can't be a mugwump. Mug in the world, wump in the church. You're on one side or the other. Nobody straddles the fence. There is no such thing as straddling the fence. You are either a godly, spirit-filled, holy Christian, or you're carnal and worldly. And Scripture has a lot to say about that. We were washed. How? By Jesus Christ dying for us on the cross. He has washed us, made us whiter than snow, cleansed us, purified our hearts and our minds. Sanctified, that's a term that means we're set apart to God. We belong to Him. We are no longer our own. You were bought with a price. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Why? Because the life I live for the Son of God who loved me and gave His life for me. Very clearly. Justified, what a wonderful word. It means that God looks at you and I just if I'd never sinned. That's what it means to be justified. Wow. Because God sees us through the blood of His Son washed, He sees us sanctified, and He sees us just if I'd never sinned. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And yes, sometimes it stings and sometimes it's pretty heavy duty, but it's your word. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your love and your mercy. We thank you, God, that you are still extending your nail-scarred hand to the United States of America, asking us to repent and calling us to turn from our wicked ways. And I pray for each and every one of us as born-again Christians that we would live sanctified, purified, holy lives before this nation, Lord. Give us what we need. May we have the full armor of God on. And every piece is on the front. We're not supposed to be retreating. We're supposed to be moving forward, proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive us for all of our sins. Cleanse our hearts and minds. Fill us with your Spirit. Encourage us. Help us to be found without spot or blemish when that trumpet sounds, Lord. Help us to be, as Paul said to the Thessalonians, sanctified and set apart and pure and holy, anticipating and waiting for your return, Lord. And we are close. We love you. We thank you for this evening. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the word, Lord. I know myself I need a wake-up call quite regularly. And we thank you, Lord, how your word does that. Challenges us to change and to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. No excuses. No blame game. Taking responsibility for our thoughts, for our actions, and just leaving them all at the foot of the cross. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name.